land the way God would have, and so they say, no, you can't have a part of it. And so this creates a big rift and even stops the building of the temple for 14 years until the prophets start prophesying, they start building again. History shows that when Samaria was denied the chance to join Israel to build the temple, they just went to Shechem and built a temple on the mountain. There's a temple, they just built their own temple. And this is what happens constantly in all of our strivings and conflicts, because we just want to forget it, I'll just do it my own way. Now Jesus is starting ministry and he's going into Samaria. And he sits down at a well, and it's lunchtime. He's tired. He's hungry. The people, his disciples already are like going, I don't really want to be here. I'm not comfortable here. I'm not wanted here. But I'm going to go get lunch for the leader. And while he's waiting for the lunch, a lady comes with a water pot to get water, and he asks her for a drink. And she's kind of like taken back because he just broke two taboos. He's talking to a Samaritan because Jews had nothing to do. This is like real racial separation issues. And he's talking to a woman, which is a whole gender issue. And so then he gets into a dialogue with her out of a normal situation, which if you're listening, you can hear. This is how many times conversations with God begin. They begin in a normal situation, go into a normal exchange of life. He says, I would like a drink of water. She says, well, what are you talking to me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan woman. And he said, well, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for a drink of water. And she says, well, how can you give me a drink of water? This well is deep. And you don't have anything to draw from. And he says, well, no, the water here, well, you'll drink and you'll be thirsty tomorrow. But the water I give you would become a fountain of living water, and it would spring up and be, you know, everlasting life. And she goes, I want the water. So he says, well, go get your husband. And she says, well, I don't have a husband. And he says, well, you've spoken well because you've actually had five husbands. And the man you're living with is not a husband. So we're on our sixth at least. So now he's breaking a whole nother taboo. He's breaking through a sin barrier. I mean, of all the people God to be talking to is a woman who can't have a relationship work. And then she goes, well, I perceive you're a prophet. And he goes, and this is the key, because when all else fails, when taboos and social taboos and gender issues and even sin issues don't stop God, there's one thing you can try to throw up to anybody is religion. So they get into the ancient argument. You guys say Jerusalem's a place to worship. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain. Okay, so we're going, a lot of things happening. And then Jesus says to her in verse 21, woman, believe me. And this is where I want us to just launch from. Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. So Jesus is affirming. You guys kind of got this like a little bit edgy. But we know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. This is where salvation's coming forth from the covenant God made and the unfolding of that covenant that he's bringing. But the hour is coming, and now is, meaning that it's going to grow bigger, but it already is here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, the purpose of me sharing that, because the woman is overwhelmed and she goes off because she's perceiving a Messiah. He says, you're talking to him. She leaves her water pot, runs into the city, tells everybody, come see the man who told me everything I ever did. The liberating voice of God is such that it penetrates the areas that we would live in shame or be hidden or wish would never have ever happened. And it actually becomes the doorway of discovery of how kind and gracious God is. And her going to her city testifies to, this is the man, come see him. And the whole city goes in. And then when they hear him, they ask that he would stay for 3 days. And the whole city comes to Jesus. So it's a really a profound and prophetic, and there's so much in there. But what God was stating, Jesus was saying, was we're not about a place of worship or a prescribed pattern of worship. We're bringing people into an encounter of spirit and truth. God is a spirit, and we are going to, the two components of engaged relationship, worship, prayer, friendship, communication, meditation, is going to involve spirit, Holy Spirit, truth, Word of God, my spirit, truth of who I am. There's going to be honest, authentic connection, communication. And in the biggest picture is that we ourselves are coming and saying, God, I want to worship you in your Holy Spirit's ability and within your truth's revealing. So that's huge, because what I want to show you now is that many people they go, I don't really hear the voice of God. I don't know how you hear the voice of God. What does he talk like? What does he sound like? And because we don't honor or just acknowledge or expect the Spirit's help and the Word of God to come alive, we miss the fact that God's talking to us all the time. All the time he's unveiling who he is, so we can know him. And if we know him, then we can walk with him. And if we walk with him, we can become his friend. I was going to take you to some of the extreme expressions of walking with the Spirit, hearing the voice of God, but we'll build up to that, because I want you to see, because I still practice this. This is the way I approach the Lord. First, by the confidence that I have from these scriptures, and then the practice of them. So let's go with me to Matthew 13. You good with this tonight?
Yeah.
I want to teach, because teaching is something that we need to, it helps us if we're going to practice a new thing, we need to have the permission to do it. And the disciples came, verse 10, Jesus had shared a parable of the sower, so there sows the word. Verse 9, he ends the parable. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Got ears? Use them. You know how we used to say to our kids, put your ears on. Yeah. I'm about to say something. Catch this. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples came to him and said, why do you speak in parables? Some of us, we wish that God would just be straight with us. Cammie and I went through seasons in our journey that we'd go, Lord, just tell me what to do and I'll just do it. But he didn't want to just tell me what to do and do it. He wanted to show me to become who he is and surrender. I mean, it's so much bigger than what we think it is in growing in a union, marriage, loved, accepted, can't be kicked out. No, there's peace and joy. So he doesn't try to get us to just do what I say and I don't ask me any questions. It's opposite of that. So they said, well, why do you speak in parables? You're making your message hard to understand. And he answered and said to them, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not been given. Everybody say, the mysteries of the kingdom are hidden for me, not from me. The mysteries of the kingdom are hidden for me, not from me. God's kept things so that they just unfolded under his jurisdiction and his movement. So whoever has, to him more will be given. And he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. So the more we are increasing in a connected communication, the more the communication gets better. When it begins to wane, it begins to become less and less. It's just a matter of the movement of sound, and the more you're recognizing the voice of God, the more the voice of God you'll be hearing. And the less you're recognizing the voice of God, it seems, the less you're hearing. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they don't see. And hearing, they don't hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull, therefore they are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. For anybody that haven't heard me share this before, this is the most recorded scripture in the New Testament from the Old Testament. This is recorded in all four Gospels, in the book of Acts, the book of Corinthians, and I believe also in Romans. It is the most repeated statement. So I have a feeling that this is like huge. Yeah. Right? This is huge. You understand this? You're well on your way to getting out from being the ones who have ears that don't hear and eyes that can't see and ears that, and hearts that don't understand. Because God's intent was that that which would be a mystery to the carnal mind, to the natural man, by the Spirit of God, and in our kingdom, our Resurrection Life Conference, Rod Anderson did an entire session, or Julie did, brought us to the idea that eyes have not seen nor ear heard, neither entered the heart of man things God has prepared, but it has been revealed to us by His Spirit. And the Spirit communicates to our spirit, and the Spirit takes the things of the Spirit to our spirit. God is a spirit. We worship Him with spirit and truth. So the yielding or the longing or the, when I started understanding it, I would say, God, give me ears to hear and give me an eyes to see and make my heart understand. The reason is if I can see with my eyes and hear with my ears and understand my heart, I will turn to what I'm hearing, seeing, and understanding, and I'll experience a healing. Yeah. Yeah. I'll experience a healing. Spirit of my, healing of my spirit, healing of my soul, healing of my past, healing of my present, deliverance from a demon, whatever it is that's out of congruency with God's word and His purposes for my life. When I respond, see, we always think, I got to change something in life so that I can have a different life. No, we just have to respond to God's voice, and then life will change. It's really, and He didn't say, and lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ear, understand with their heart, and go do what I showed them. There's no doing in this. There's turning. Turning to what? Turning to the one who's speaking. Because all Scripture takes us to Jesus. And then Jesus says, I'll heal you. And we'll have an experience that will be really cool. So the word understand is a really cool, a really neat word. Lest they should understand with their heart. And it means to put together or bring union. Often when the voice of God is speaking, a parable, an exchange at the well, the supermarket, while I'm meditating, walking, praying, He's wanting me to catch the sound, see, and start to put together something, because then I can respond, and not only in my responding, it's something that becomes, I have a capability of responding the next time, and the next time, and the next time. It's like children learning a language. When you're first talking to your children, when they're first born, all you're communicating is emotions and raw love and fear and concern, and they're picking all that up. They're reading it. But later they learn language, and they start to get some words for certain things, and you get words, and then after a while they're using words, and they get one word, and you know that word means everything. They repeat that word for everything because it's the newest word they can say and it means everything. And that's how we're learning language with God. We are learning a spirit language that's been given, that is thankfully written down, but it is greater than English or whatever your native tongue is. So, look with me now to Luke 24. So this is middle of Jesus' ministry. We started at the beginning at Samaria, middle of Jesus' ministry. Now we go to the resurrection. At the resurrection in verse 44, He said to them, and I want you to catch this, because this is where many believers fall off the wagon. They lose their place. Because God just is difficult to perceive the good in what's happening, and that he's sovereign and Lord in something that's out of our control. It's going crazy. And they had just witnessed that with Jesus' death. And now they were trying to sort out what a resurrection meant. So he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things might be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." One day we'll learn that everything is about Jesus, and everything in Jesus makes it our life to have everything to do about him. And our journey will be as sovereignly orchestrated so that Scripture will give definition to the journey as it did to Jesus. So he's saying, okay, guys, so I told you this. You didn't get it when I told you. But this is what's been being said from the law to the prophets to the Psalms. And then verse 20, 45, he opened their eyes. They're open their understanding, their ability to comprehend, to put things together, to bring them into union. Two different thoughts, and you begin to look at them, and a new one is introduced, and all of a sudden it's like, whew, it's one. And not only does truth come into union with itself and all truth, it brings us into union with it. That's why it brings freedom. A revelation of God's voice that brings, it's communicating truth about himself, which means we are learning about who we are in Christ, will bring liberty. It never will condemn. It will never make you feel like you'll never make it, you never can make it. That never is the voice of God with Scripture. That's the interpreter, the negative narrator, Satan. So he opened their understanding that they might comprehend, they might put these things together, the Scriptures. And then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary." Say that with me. Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary. There are some things in your life that are written, so to speak, the journey of our destiny in Christ, that thus it will be necessary. And if we can allow God to penetrate our life, to say, simplest thing is like, well, you were in my home, but you never let me be your dad, and you tried to hold your place by being a really good servant. And now your brother, who never really cared much about the house and went and took everything and went off in his crazy life, he came home, and now I'm throwing a party for him, and now you're all upset. So let's talk about why you're upset. Well, this guy did everything wrong and got everything wonderful, and I've done everything right and never got anything from you. I have this perception of you. And then the father has to say, "Son, that's not a correct perception. First off, your brother was dead and he came home, and we're happy that we got to celebrate that. That's it. We don't, but you're always with me, and everything I have is yours." So, whoa. You know, he was wondering, why don't you give me anything? God said, you can have everything. It's all yours. So a lot of times what's happening in Scripture, thus it is written, thus it is necessary, it isn't for us to earn something, it's to learn something that we can't learn ourselves. We start a relationship with God, and from our soul and the manner in which we were raised, and the struggles that we come into, and the things that have happened to us, then we try to engage the best we know how to be pleasing and accepted. And it may work to a certain degree, but God will make sure that something comes and upsets the apple cart. So that we're going, what? Wait a minute, you got to be kidding. That's not possible. That's bad theology. That'll never happen. God will never let a sinful person kiss his feet. So you must not be a prophet, because you can't even tell a sinner from a saint. In our theology, our mind, our math. So he opens our understanding, and he says it was written, it's necessary, and then he goes and he begins to explain the future. That repentance, remission of sin, should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things. Now here begins to become the beautiful union of the word and truth and experience. We can witness something really bad, and if Jesus comes and talks to us about the bad in his, from his perspective, it changes the bad to good. We then become a witness to something of an encounter of this moment of change, and we now have been transformed, translated. We have been moved from being a victim to a victor, and we begin to carry this sound. We've seen things, we've heard things, we've experienced things. I've seen, I've heard, I understand. I've been healed. So then he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you're endured with power from on high. So, beloved, we have the Word of God. Jesus was made flesh, the Word of God, and now he is resurrected, the Word of God, and he's opened his disciples' understanding, and they're kind of grasping this and getting it. But he says, now there's one more thing you're going to need. You're going to need Holy Spirit in a greater measure if you're going to keep up with my voice. You're going to have to keep up with my voice. My voice is going to be huge. I'm going to make a lot of noise soon. And when I make a lot of noise, I want you to be able to follow me and give others understanding. So Acts 2, he comes and he makes a lot of noise. A mighty wind fills the house. Everybody's speaking in tongues. Everybody's drunker than a skunk. Which let me just give and help everybody. Do you understand? Hilarity brings clarity. If you ever wonder, if I know when I'm getting super focused, serious, and really trying to get it, I'm off. I'm already missed the mark. I'm on me and not God. I'm on it's up to me and not him. And I'm just, but whenever God's come in and he makes me laugh, I may be in a non-laughable situation. I may be in a sorrowful moment, but joy starts to fill me up. And the joy is my strength. And the joy is where I can see, hear, and understand. So Holy Spirit comes, boom. What is this? Well, this is what it is. And all of a sudden, Peter standing up, and he's bringing this powerful teaching. In Acts chapter 2, he says in verse 16, but this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. So Holy Spirit has the profound ability, because he's God, he knows the Bible, he knows us, he can give us the Bible. He can all of a sudden make the Bible come alive. And all of a sudden, Peter's preaching and bringing understanding to a spiritual experience with the Scripture. They're always coming back and forth. Spirit, truth, truth, Spirit, Word, Holy Spirit. And so he says, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. Now, this is the last days. I'm going to pour out my Spirit on everybody, all flesh. Which I think means it's all flesh. All flesh. Saved and unsaved. And soon it's going to activate in fashions that will all of a sudden start changing lives. How does it happen? Your sons and daughters will prophesy. So somebody who's, you know, is just stuck in Facebook and can't get out of Instagram, Spirit of God comes on them, and all of a sudden they're prophesying. They're seeing, they're perceiving, they're declaring. And the young men are all of a sudden seeing visions. And the old men are dreaming dreams. And on the men servants and the maid servants, everybody's having a spiritual experience, which is the crux of our whole New Testament relationship with Jesus Christ. It's experiential. You have to have a moment. You have to have something that lifts, shifts, and takes you where you could not lift, shift, and take you. It's an encounter. It's an experience. And Peter not only has had this loud experience, he's explaining it. And then he goes on to Scripture and he talks about that Jesus has to be raised from the dead. So we've got, this powerful stuff. So now go with me to Romans 8, because here we are today. We get saved, maybe had a powerful experience, maybe it was just kind of a gradual becoming. Or maybe we came out of major crises, or maybe we're stuck in a major crisis and we're trying to find our way, and we're trying to discover the voice in the desert, which is where the voice of God is best learned. Why he often sends us somewhere where it's just he and you and him and your adversary. At least you don't have too many other voices contending, and you start to learn that voice. And we'll talk more on that next week. But here Jesus is Romans 8:12. You're familiar with this. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. We've been saved. We don't have to let the flesh have its say. We get to not, we're not in debt to that. For if we live according to the flesh, we'll die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So now we have this new life journey. We're not going to be ruled by law. No one's going to go around and say, don't do this, don't do that, touch, don't that. If we do, we're going backwards and we're losing the very thing God died so powerfully for, was so that he could know us and put his laws in our mind, write them in our heart, and we could walk with him. So the Spirit, though, has a key factor in putting to death the deeds of the body. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. So now we're talking about led. And led here is an interesting, it means to lead, to bring, to drive, to move us. And as many as are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. So God's intent in our relationship is that I want you to be my friend. I don't want you to be my servant. I don't need a slave. I want a son. I want a daughter. And I want you to follow me. And I want you to learn my ways. I want you to hear my voice. I want you not to harden your heart, but I want you to continue to respond and be led. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery or bondage to fear. But you receive the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. So here's the first word we learn. In the voice of God, to learn to build a sonship relationship is we learn to say, Daddy. Daddy. It's what we did with our children, right? The mom and dad, Cammie and I would have this, we'd have this kind of, I'm just going to say, Daddy. Daddy, Daddy. And then, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And then they say, Ball. Oh, well, whatever. But we know that we have to say to them the word we want them to call us, for them to hear that word and associate that word with us. Words are powerful, because if you can carry a word that carries the image, then that word carries the image. Does that, like to say this, I want you to close your eyes, think of yourself when you're growing up, and I'm going to say, Mom. Now, what do you see? Do you see Betty Crocker? No, you probably saw your mom, right? Because that's the mom you knew. The name is universal, but it brought to you a particular image of one you personally knew. That's how God starts to bring image to us, is that he gives us his word with an experience of his Spirit, and now that image begins to carry more than an intellectual thought. It carries emotion. It carries perception. It carries safety. So when we start learning, Abba, Father, we're learning, I'm not a slave. I don't have to be afraid. I won't be kicked out of my house. I won't be told I'm not longer needed. You can go now. Pick up your stuff. Get your last paycheck. I am a son. Abba, Father, Father, Abba, you. And then with that, the Spirit bears witness, see, because we're learning language and we're learning Spirit, that we are the children of God. And so the Holy Spirit's going, like we were doing, come on, when we were their kids. That's it. Yeah, say it. I mean, when we Skype our little grandson in Virginia Beach, we're doing that constantly. He's going, ah, bah, 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 bah. It's like not just one. One and a half, and bah, bah, bah. Yeah, Mikey, that's exactly right. Then we still do it. Can you say Papa? Papa. How about Nana? Nana, oh, we love that. And we get all excited because they said our name. It's the same way God is. When we say his name, he's so thrilled because we are not realizing that we are attributing relationship. And value, and connectivity, and eternity. And so the intent of language and Spirit, and so when Mikey says, Papa, I go, yeah, good job. And stick that big thumb there. And then we've got our FaceTime, and then we got to go do our kisses, you know. You ever seen a pair of lips come on you on FaceTime? You know, But you're all into it because this is your grandson and you can't touch him. You can't get over there. So give me a big kiss. Then we got to wave. And then you don't want to say, okay, it's time to say goodbye, because then he knows he gets to push the button, which is fun for any kid. So if you introduce that idea too soon, he stops the prayer meeting. That's all prayer is talking, communicating, listening, experiencing, and learning to know someone. So then if we're children, we're heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And then he introduces this complex process that if we suffer with him, we'll also be glorified. So we're going to be led by the Lord into things that will not be what we would have wanted, outcomes that we hadn't anticipated, hopes that were not the way we saw them. But in that growth, we will join into a sonship of maturity. So now, go with me real quick to Galatians 5. So I'm going to teach you now a very practical way of doing this. Galatians 5, because again, you're born, you don't have a clue what an Abba is. I mean, I think it's God. God had rigged the deck. Did you know, ah, ba, ba, ah, ba, ba? You can almost say, ah, ba, 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 without even meaning to. Like God said, I'm going to pick the two simplest, first simple, sounds, just, and I'm going to make that my name. Because I want you to be, the first things you start to say, I want you to say my name. So I'm just going to let my name be what you would say, and I'm going to associate the first attempt to begin to express yourself as a connection to me who made you. And this is so huge because this has now all been purchased for us through Jesus Christ. So Abba, 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 Abba. So Galatians, let's just say, watch this. Let's just try this. Let's say Abba, 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 Abba. it's just something makes you feel good, doesn't it? Abba, Abba, Abba. You're my Abba. You're my Abba. You're my Abba. Like there's this time and season where the Lord began to pull me so close into knowing the sonship and having nothing other than sonship. No other servant, no gifting, no requirements. You're my son. You're my son. You're my son. And all of a sudden I started calling him Papa. Now, I grew up with my dad being dad. Daddy, maybe. He's German. We never called anybody in our family Papa. So it was surprising me that he had me calling him Papa. But it felt that endearment and little bit of like, I get to call you Papa. And then it started, now it just finds its way in all my vocabulary whenever there's moments of intimacy. Did you know when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying through the struggle of the last 3 hours, he says, Abba. Intimacy is important. You have to have that connect, intimate place. So now Galatians 5. I want to show you something we can kind of close with practicing this. I won't get to explain this other part, which would be the word, but if you want to write these down, you can go look at them for your own meditation. 1 Timothy 4:12 and 16 talks about now truth, about the intentionality of meditating and allowing something you hear that catches your attention to be heard and reheard. There, if you hear God in a message, mark where the message you heard God in and go back and hear God again in that place. You go back on the internet and watch it, listen to it, or you write it on the note, or you know where the scripture is. You go there because what you were given was a clue to where God wanted to meet you. It didn't mean anything to anybody else. Your neighbor didn't hear it, but you heard it. And you want to go meditate it. You want to go move toward that, because it's only in the practicing or discovering or returning or thinking out and kind of sorting the thought and letting it influence you emotionally, give you image, have an encounter, that what was being offered is translated fully to you. And that's a lifetime process. I'm still learning my Abba while I'm still having to do things as a big son. I'm still learning his unconditional love while I'm having to walk under consecrations that he asks me to observe. I'm maturing, but I can never get away from this place of closeness. So the Word of God, Hebrews 5:14, talks about practicing it so you can learn to discern good and evil and to allow it to have its influence. Hebrews 4:12 talks about the Scripture has a penetrating power to spirit, soul, body, thoughts, intentions of the heart. And literally, why wouldn't it? Everything in the earth was created by the Logos. Therefore, if everything is, anytime we bring our life to the Logos, the Word of God, the whole Bible, it will recalibrate us back to creation. And if it talks about Jesus, it recalibrates us, upgrades us to redemption. And if we will allow our minds to accept the Bible that is being given to us, that we felt inspiration, that we were drawn to, and we let it now become something that's not, I got to figure this out with my brain and know what it means and know what to do, but begin to behold it. What is this saying? What are you showing me? Who are you here? What are you communicating to me? Then I behold, I'll become what I behold. And that usually takes, for me, at least a 6-month beholding process. Which is cool, because I used to try to hear the word, get the revelation, and do it in a week, and I'd be on a new one by the next week. And it never, I was schizophrenic. I was getting so much, but I could hold nothing. Now I just like consider like a really good bottle of wine or a really great meal. And not only, I want to come back and have that meal again. And I want to learn how the meal was made. I want to get the recipe to make the soup. I want to try making the soup. Oh, gosh, that was an awful experience the first time. But then the second time is not so bad. And you're developing a capacity to appreciate, to value, to assimilate, to reproduce, to recognize how it comes about. And that's the power of the meditation, practicing the word, the beholding and becoming. So, which is interesting enough, Matthew 13:23, the beginning of the parables. Lest if a good heart, we hear the word, we keep it, we ponder it, we begin to understand it, perceive it, and after time, we bring fruit 30, 60, 100-fold. So that's the maturing on the word. But now, let me give you permission to have those moments where something captures your attention so that you can then go and recognize, follow it. Verse 16, chapter 5, 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You having trouble with the flesh? Don't try to tell it not to be its thing. Just walk away from that for a moment and go walk into the Spirit. Walk into the Holy Spirit. Allow him to be the one who carries you. To walk in the Spirit means, the word walk is to go and just kind of journey and travel and discover. And whenever I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm walking in the Word too. I'm not walking in an abstract like, well, let's go see who we get to meet today. I want him in the Bible when I meet him, okay? But the Bible's a big book and it's full of exciting things. I don't have it to give you. But let's just say you have you find today that you have been given inside a trust. Your uncle has bequeathed you, but it's in a living trust. So it's not, it's yours, but it's under his care. I'll use mine. I'll use the one I like to, big picture. You're up, it's in Santa Ynez, and it's a winery, vineyard, it's acreage, it's matured vines. It's got its own tasting room, its own brand, and it's beautiful weather. And for my sake, it's happens to be in the ranch so that it's within walking steps, which I just changed count, not counties, but regions, to the beach. Okay, so that's yours. And it's you had a witness. You had a, well, you could have two attitudes. One day that'll be mine, and you know what, when I get that, we're going to, that's going to be really cool. Can't wait. Another hand, you go, okay, that's really mine? Yeah, but it's in the will. You mind if I go up and see it? No, come on up. Come visit. You don't mind at all? No. It's just being kept. It's groundskeepers. It's you can stay overnight if you want. You can come, you can see, you can be, you can come anytime you want. And here's the keys, you go on in. And you could say, wow, that's really cool. I went and visited. It's just going to be awesome. Or you could begin to go, you know what, guess what? I have a wine business and I have a vineyard and it's in Paso Robles. And again, if that messes you up, then I've got a beach house and it's right at a great break. Nothing wrong with that. But, and I get to go anytime I want. And the more I get to go, the more I'm getting to observe it. The more I'm observing it, the more I'm getting to notice. Did you know that it's massive? The place is huge. Or it seems to be settled inside a valley within other hills. And you just would learn more every time you went. That's what walking in the Spirit means. It's wandering into the things that are being given you just because you can. It's taking a leisurely stroll into a promise. It's a word promise, the scriptures, it's something you begin to behold. That is like way cool. Freedom. The truth brings freedom. Freedom comes from truth. You'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. How does it make you free? Well, let's go see. Where on the scriptures did it tell us that truth brought freedom? Well, it said it brought it into the disciples who were going to hear the word. The word was truth. Wow, so in the word is truth. And if the truth is undiscovered, then comes freedom. Wonder why. Oh, if you hear with your ears and see with your eyes, understand with your heart, and I turn, oh, the truth must give me something, the capacity to turn. And when I turn, then I have an encounter with the truth. Truth is Jesus' way. You see, you just start exploring your world that is given to you in Jesus Christ. It's all in the Bible, but by Holy Spirit. Now, while you're doing that, next thing you know, that flesh of yours, it's boring. There's nothing all that exciting. Your flesh is just screaming, oh, I got to do this, you got to do that, you want to do this, I want to do that. But all of a sudden it's like, well, sorry, I'll get to you later. We'll promise, we'll do it later. And it's a total liberation, far greater than this idea of tie yourself to a chair and never let yourself do it again. That is restricting somebody from sin, which doesn't, it only empowers sin. This is drawing people totally out of the flesh's power into the Spirit's delight. Now, while you're doing that, something's going to catch your attention. Something's going to catch your attention, and you're going to begin to be drawn over to discover. Well, let me just find out about that. How long has that wine brand has been going? It's been 70 years. And how many, where is it distributed? And is it just local? And something just catches your attention, and you want to go explore more. Now that is the word in chapter verse 18. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So this is what happens, is you're just moving in the things that have been given you, and something draws your attention. To be led means to be kind of like, come on over here. Come here. I want to show you something. And so you move over in that direction to be, and you look a little closer, the burning bush. All of a sudden you hear, whoa. Now, what is that going to do? Now you're starting to have an engaged experience, and it breaks the law off of you. It breaks the restrictions of traditions and religions and taboos and culture and captivity and bondage of wherever it came in its point of origin. There is more freedom when you know the truth. And that happens through the abiding in the promise. Then you encounter truth, and the truth you... All of a sudden, well, I'm totally free. I don't even know how I got free. Then it goes on, and here we close. Verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, here's the powerful thing. The freedom to explore that brings us to an encounter, to be led to a deeper and a more intentional exchange moment. That's like that moment in a message. That's that thing you heard, the song you sang, something of a piece, something caught your attention, the burning bush, will lead you to an experience of growth that all of a sudden begins to set a course of how to live and how to overcome. You are learning your sanctification. You're beginning to learn your operating instructions for your life here on the planet and in the Spirit. Because what it literally means there, if you live in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. The word walk is the word to put together in a regular line or to march in military rank, to keep up. It begins to, it's where we get the word staccato from. Musical term, just because after a while that path has become traveled to the point where it is yours and yours is it. You have become one with the Word, and the Word has become one with you. You have access because you have traveled there enough times that you can find it anytime. You may fall off this and you may encounter that, but you can go, whoa, there we are. And that begins to become the path of how you are to have an overcoming life. That is your overcoming secret. It may not work for everybody, but it works for you. And you've learned that this is how I walk in the Spirit. I started by just enjoying everything. I still enjoy everything because I'm always wanting to learn something new in a discovery so that that new discovery can become mine through practice. I don't know if that makes you happy, but it makes me happy. Let's stand up. So I wanted to give you this so you could practice with freedom. So many people get swept in the Holy Spirit moment and they get heard with prophetic promise and they get told glorious stuff. But it doesn't work. What works is you learning the voice of God in those moments till they become yours that cannot be taken from you. And that is through the practice. Holy Spirit, come. By your grace and your goodness, baptize us afresh with a capacity to understand the Word of God. And as we understand the Word of God, let us begin to hear the voice of God in the Abba sound. Wherever we are, because we can grow up in certain aspects of truth and be totally lacking and separated in another place of importance of knowing. Holy Spirit, come and look over our moment of the journey we're in and help us again to hear the voice of God, to hear the Word of God, to know where we could go and discover, to go take another look, to go into your scriptures and let the scriptures redefine our journey and tell us that it was necessary because it was written and Jesus was to suffer then be glorified and there's a growth in our own life. And in the name of Jesus, I loose understanding to every mind, to every emotion, to every situation, to every circumstance of life. I loose Holy Spirit to come with understanding, spirit of understanding, the spirit of wisdom and understanding in the knowledge of God. Come, revelation. Come, eyes open. Come, ears open. And hearts open to understand. And Lord God, wherever we are currently being given permission through promise to explore with Spirit, Holy Spirit, please show us again. Please point it out again. Please invite us. Please give us interest and desire. And when we begin the journey into the promise and the broadness of it, capture our attention in some place to go be led into that area so that we can discover sonship. And Lord, as we discover you in that moment and begin to build in us patterns of life that become our pattern that gives us victory. So Heavenly Father, we thank you. We want to learn from here, Lord. Abba, give us the Abba moment again. Let it grow up again. And then as the weeks get ahead of us, You'll raise us up into a whole, you know, to new discoveries of how powerful that voice of yours is and how inviting, how limitless we have been given an opportunity to grow, to learn new languages, as it were, new discoveries. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, sealed by Holy Spirit, illuminate by your word, and lead us into the encounter, the experience of truth inside of Holy Spirit that you want us to have to bring us into freedom and sonship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you.